I want to thank you all, every one of you who have called, sent me an email or a card during this week as we remember my cousin. I thank you for your prayers. I ask for your prayers for me. I fly out tonight for a conference, and I'll be back on Wednesday. Pray that I behave myself. I'll try. But thank you all for that support and for your support during this week. Our text today comes from the first letter of John to the community of faith that he was pastoring, the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 19. I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. It will be on the screen. I invite you to read along with us and try to hear with fresh ears what the pastor was saying to his church. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. For the word of God is scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. I invite you, if you will, to gather together around the throne of grace as we pray. Holy God, through the power of your Spirit, come into this place. Abide with us. Teach us. Guide our thoughts and our hearts, that we may receive today from you a word that will transform us. A word that will change how we see you and how we see ourselves. A word that will inspire us to live more faithfully to your commands. A word that will put a fire in our hearts, that we may be bold witnesses to the truth that you love us and there's not a thing we can do about it. Help us, oh God, to leave this place ready to see you and everyone that we meet, ready to do your will, and ready to transform this world into your kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Descend on us, we pray. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For we, your children, are listening. Amen. Remember, we are in the midst of a cycle of where we're looking at back to the basics, where we are examining the basic tenets of what it means to be a Christian within the United Methodist tradition. And today, we look at the topic, the starting point of salvation. Back in October, my best friend and I took a day and we went to a corn maze. You ever been to one of those? Yeah. I don't know what we were thinking, but we went. Here we were, two pastors on a Friday afternoon with every kindergartner known to man in Cheatham County. I mean, they were all over the place. But here we were, we started on this maze. We had this little map to make it fun, so they claimed, of the whodunit. Some chickens, some roosters, and all the barnyard animals had committed some kind of crime, and we had to solve it as we found various places along the maze. And we walked through the maze, of course, twisting and turning and getting lost and trying to find out the mystery of the crime. And we had the best time. We were really out there to get exercise on a beautiful fall day. And we could still see the boundaries, you know, because, well, we're not the brightest pastors in the conference. But we just kind of twisted and turned through this maze, and you know, we punched our little papers, and it was the rooster who did it, in case you want to know. You got to watch out for them roosters. Anyway, and we just had the best time twisting and turning in this maze. And I thought about that experience today, and it kind of reminded me of our experience of walking with God, you know? The twists and the turns, and sometimes there's a dead end, and that's not because of God. It's because of the way we get ourselves there. And you kind of need a guide to get through that. But that maze taught me that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we walk together with companions along the way. So I want you to think about that maze as we move through this. You see, why do we need salvation? Well, first of all, we were created to be in a relationship with God. That's why God created us. It was out of love to be in relationship with God. God wanted to, as they say in the third chapter of Genesis, God wanted to walk with us in the cool of the evening, to be face to face with us, to be intimate with us. But sin, our sin of wanting to be God, not to be like God, created a divide in that relationship. You know, God told us we could have everything but one thing, right? And what do we want? The one thing. And that sin, Wesley calls sin a corruption or a disease in that relationship, put a divide in our relationship between us and God. And we've been suffering the effects of that divide, that corruption, that disease ever since. So we need to be saved. We need to be brought back into that relationship with God. And only God can initiate salvation. We in and of ourselves cannot come to that moment. We need God reaching out to us, for it's all about God. If nothing else you get today, please understand, it's all about... Oh, you guys are really getting good at this. God initiates salvation by reaching out to us because we cannot, of and on ourselves, do anything to bring us back into that relationship. We need God's grace, amen? We need God's prevenient grace, God's seeking grace, God's reaching out grace to make us aware of our need to be brought back into that relationship. So God initiates salvation by reaching out to us because we of our own selves can do nothing to repair that relationship. 1 John 4:9 says, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent God's only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. God reached out to us. God put on human form and came to live among us that we might have a way into this relationship. We speak of, as United Methodists, a way of salvation, not a plan. For we feel that way implies an ongoing journey. It's a journey born out of a relationship and not a destination. For as United Methodists, we put an emphasis on the ongoing process, not the eternal destination. Salvation is a lifelong process of responding to God's grace. It's about the here and now as well as the eternity. It's about what's going on now in our lives as well as what will happen when we cross the Jordan. Salvation is accepting God's grace, having faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and growing in holiness as long as we live. It's an ongoing process. It is not just a ticket to a destination. And salvation, thanks be to God, is a free gift, open to all people, not just to some people. Because God loves everybody, and I'm awfully grateful. God loves everybody and is a free gift offered to each and every person. But it is an ongoing process. Ongoing process. Jesus revealed God's redeeming love to us. And the first word of salvation is in the character of God, not in us. It is in God's character, not ours. And God's love is neither elective or selective. Translation, God's love is open to everyone who's ever walked the earth and who will ever walk the earth. Therefore, the starting point of salvation is God. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for us. Again, it's all about It's all about, there we go. Jesus did not die to placate the anger of God, but rather to show us how much God loves us. For as Methodists, we put the emphasis not on a courtroom of judgment, but on the healing of a relationship. It's not about an angry God, it's about a God who loves us. It's not about a God who's counting the score, but about a God who would go to the nth degree to show us love. It's about a God who wants us more than we could even imagine. It's about a God who would go to the cross for us. It's about a God who would get up out of the grave for us. It's about a God who stays with us in the middle of the night, a God who's with us throughout the day. It is about a God who never leaves our side, even when we walk away. It is about a God who is steadfast, unmovable, unconditionally in love with us. It's not about a God who's out to get us. It is about a God who knows us and loves us anyway. Okay? You got to understand about this God. This God is crazy in love with us. I don't know why. Honestly, I know us, right? But this God is crazy in love with us and will never, ever fall out of love with us and wants us that badly. And through Jesus Christ, we can be in that relationship, an ongoing, faithful relationship, through our discipleship, through our saying yes to this love, through our saying yes to this grace. We can be in this relationship. It is not the nature of love to force a relationship, but it is the nature of love to open the way. Isn't that just like God to love us so much to let us make the decision? You know, to say, I love you so much that I'm not going to force you into this relationship, but I'm going to allow you to choose. I'm not going to control you. I'm going to let you choose. Now that's love, is it not? Because sometimes we as humans, when we love, we want to control, do we not? Yeah. That's not God's way. For it says in verses 18 and 19, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. See, we don't need to fear God's love. Right? We don't need to fear God's love. For fear has nothing to do with punishment. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love Because God first loved us. So, this week there are two more questions to ponder. Two more questions. If the focal point of salvation is the love of God, and it is, then how does that affect how we judge people? If the focal point of salvation is the love of God, then how does that affect how we judge people? I wish you could see y'all's faces right now. And my second question. Since salvation is open to all people, then does that change how we gather as a community of faith? Since salvation is open to everybody, then does that change how we gather as a community of faith? I invite you this week to consider these two questions, to stand before God and say, God, show me your will. I also invite, if you feel the stirrings of God, that maybe you need to come to that first realization, that you need to say yes for the very first time to God's grace. You feel the promptings of the Spirit within your heart this day or this week, that you come and let Mary Noble or I to speak with you and walk with you on this journey. Maybe you need to come back to that. You've wandered far away, as the old hymn says, and it's time to come back. Maybe you decided that while we may be a ragtag band of disciples, you want to put your faith roots here. Whatever it is, whatever you feel the promptings of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you have the courage to respond to that. As we stand and sing our closing hymn, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, it's 351 in your hymnal. Our altar is open for whatever your prayer needs are. I invite you to come as you feel led. Number 351, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.